the Shus Mareinu Rav Shlita. Our topic for today is Hakaras HaTov, and I was going to discuss the various principles relating to what is more than just saying thank you, what is more than just gratitude, and what does the Torah mean by Hakaras HaTov. And we've been struck now with a tragedy of our dear Rav Kupa, and I cannot proceed without mentioning something about the Rav, who I grew up under since the age of 4 years old. But Rav David Kahn said, business as usual, carry on with the share, the topic that you prepared, but since it's on the topic of Hakaras HaTov, it's quite apt and appropriate to start off with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanon, Kishechol Rabbi Elezer, when Rabbi Elezer was ill, Nichnasu Abozer Kainim Levakra. There were four elderly Rabbanim who came to visit him: Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elozer, Ben Azaria, Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Tarfon, he gave some very complimentary words of Hakaras HaTov to Rabbi Elezer. He says, "Atol Yisrael mitzupo shel geshomim, you are greater to the Jewish people than drops of rain." Why? Because drops of rain just benefit people in Olam Hazeh. But our Rav, you benefit us by Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. And Rabbi Yeshua, he said the same words. He said, "Tovat Ol Yisrael migalgal chamo." When the sun, the eclipse of the sun, the cycle of the sun, because the sun, although it gives us benefit, it is just for Olam Hazeh, but you, the Rav, give us benefit in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, he said, "Tovat Ol Yisrael mi'ovva'im," then one's own parents. One's own parents, one gets sustenance from them, Olam Hazeh, but from you, the Rav, we get sustenance in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And it's the rain and it's the sun that all give sustenance. It's the parents who give the child as he grows up sustenance. But it's the Rav who gives us food, sustenance for Olam Hazeh and also for Olam Haba. This is therefore a Hakaras HaTov to our very dear Rav, Rav David Kupa, Zeche Tzadik Livracha, who was nifta yesterday.
Hakaras HaTov is not regarded in the lists of mitzvahs as a mitzvah. So what is it? It's not just back scratching. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. It's not simply saying thank you. So what is it? Is it something which is Bein Odom L'Mokom? Or is it something which is Bein Odom L'Chavera? Bein Odom L'Mokom, we got, for example, the mitzvah of Bikurim. When you bring your basket of fruit to the Kohen and you make a declaration, "Arami Ovid Ovi," and we came out from Mitzrayim, and all this is Hakaras HaTov, you're expressing gratitude. So this is obviously something which is Bein Odom L'Mokom. When you keep Shabbos, you're expressing gratitude to Hashem that He created the world, and it's a wonderful world to live in. And we now just read the Haggadah on Seder night. This is Hakaras HaTov, that we came out from Mitzrayim. And when we say Dayenu, the question is asked, were these individual things in Dayenu really enough for us? But for each one of those things is enough to express a Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even up to the final climax, L'chapeh Elonu Al Kol Avonu Seinu, that He's given us the Beis HaBechira, that is the great thanks of Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He's given us an opportunity to be Metayeh from our Averus in Olam Hazeh. But also, Hakaras HaTov is Sanik Bein Odom L'Chaveru. For example, Kibud Av V'Eim. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the Ikar idea of honoring parents is Hakaras HaTov. They brought me into this world, they provided me with food and with clothes and education and so on, and even if they didn't, the fact that they brought me into this world, I owe them a thanks. And that is the essence of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eim. But as we're going to discuss this, we're going to find that Hakaras HaTov is even more than that. And if a person does not show gratitude, he is really not withholding something from others, but he's withholding something from himself. And in fact, this is the secret of our golus, because our sins we've not shown gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Meir, writes an essay on Hakaras HaTov, and he brings down the Chazal on Reuven. Reuven vayishma Reuven vayatzilehu miyodo. The brothers of Yosef held a Beis Din, and they decided, according to Halacha, according to their view, Yosef was chayav misa, and they decided that he's got to be put to death. And Reuven says, "We will not spill blood." Lo nakenu nofesh. What does it mean, vayishma Reuven? And Reuven heard. Vayishma can also mean, and he understood. Even though there was a Beis Din which held that he was chayav misa, he had a hakara satov to Yosef. And what was this hakara satov? Because Yosef had a dream. He had a dream that all his brothers, sheaves or whatever, were bowing down to him. Omar Reuven says, "Bracious Rabbah, pay dalad teslov. Who mone ausiyam achayv ainim silo." He's counting me amongst his brothers, even though I did a very grave sin relating to Bilhah, because he felt that his mother Leah wasn't getting enough attention from Yaakov Avinu, and he moved the beds, and it was a very grave sin, and he thought he was going to be excluded completely as one of the Shavosim. And Yosef HaTzadik, in his dream, in his subconscious, was including Reuven as one of the Shavotim. So on that basis, when he said, even though Reuven was part of the Beis Din, and even though it's a dream, he says, "I cannot touch Yosef. I have a Hakoras HaTov for him." And yet it was in a dream. It was just Hakoras HaTov in the subconscious. And Reuven, so what did he do by saving Yosef? He changed Jewish history. Another story. In Shemos Rabbah, Dalet Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paro and to bring the Bnei Yisrael out from Mitzrayim. L'cholesh l'chachol Paro. Omalei, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ribon Ha'olamim, creator of the world, Eini Yochel, I'm not able. I'm sorry, I cannot fulfill your instructions." Why? Yisro brought me into his house. Yisro, a non-Jewish man, he took me into his house, he made me feel at home. I owe everything to him. Without his permission, I cannot go to Egypt. I'm not able. And there the Medrash says, from here we learn that somebody who brings somebody else into their home, he owes them more covered than he owes his own parents, more than kibbutz avim. And this is a chiddush, at least the Mishnah Medrash might say, the same as one's parents. It says more than one's own parents. Another Medrash also talks about Eliyahu Novi and Elisha, where they would have the koyach to do something for their hosts, to bring a child back to life, which they were not able to do for anyone else because they didn't have the koyach to do so, but this was for their host. And Moshe Rabbeinu was simply saying this because he knew that there were other instances of Hakaras HaTov which could be learnt from. In the Midrash in Va'era, it says, "Loma lo loku hamayim al yedei Moshe." Moshe Rabbeinu would not strike the water to create the blood, the makor of dam. Hashem wants the makor of dam. It's Hashem's wish. He would not do it. Hashem told him. Oh, that water which protected you when you were a baby, when you were on the River Nile, it's not correct that you now smite the water. So Aaron did the dam, Aaron did the tzavadeah, and then what do we have with the kinim? Rashi brings us down in Shemos Ches Yud Beis, lo offer kadai lilkos. Moshe Rabbeinu would not smite the dust to create the kinim. Alidei Moshe, why? Lefi shehegin alav, it protected him. Kasheharag against Amitri, when he killed the Egyptian, vayitmeneu b'chal, and he hid him in the sand. As veloka alidei Aaron. Therefore Aaron performed the duty instead. And we can ask a question here. Moshe Rabbeinu, he got found out in the end. He got found out that he killed Amitri. He had to flee to Midian for 60 years. And yet, he showed Hakaras HaTov to this dust. Why? the Perish Maharzu on Midrash Shmos Rabbah says in Yud Zayin, it took 1 hour for this dead Egyptian to be discovered. And for that, he is showing Hakoras HaTov to the dust of the earth. And the Sefer Toledah says, we learn from here that even if a person only intended to do Hakoras HaTov to somebody else, but didn't fully succeed, one should still show gratitude to such a person. And unfortunately, there are times when we found that there is a lack of Hakoras HaTov. Adam HaRishon, for example, he wasn't very grateful when he was accused of the sin of eating from the tree. He said, oh, that woman you gave to me, she gave it to me. He put the blame on her. That's gratitude. After he's been through all the creations and all the animals to see what might suit him, and in the end Hashem gives him a bespoke, tailor-made person as a wife. He was kofa b'tova, says Gemara Avodah Zarah. Hey. And that was a big aveiro. And the Yalkut Shemoni brings down on Tehillim Tzadi Beis that when he came to realize that he had done Averus, and he learned from Kayin that there's a mitzvah called Teshuvah, he stood up and he said, Mizmo Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. And what does it then say after that? Tov Laudos L'Hashem U'Lezamer L'Shimcho Elyon. To thank Hashem, Lagid Baboken Asecha V'Unoscha Balelos. And we say this on Shabbos because Shabbos is a Hakoras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Kibbud Avayim. And another kind of denial we find of Hakoras HaTov was Vayokom Melech Chodosh al Mitzrayim, Asher Lo Yodah Es Yosef. Do you really mean to say that this new king of Egypt did not know Yosef? The one who saved the whole economy of Egypt for all those years? The one who saved them from starvation? Of course he knew. He just was denying Hakoras HaTov. And then we come to later on the story of Midian, where Midian tried to destroy us by assimilation and with Baal Pa'ur, and all this 22,000 Jewish people died as a result of Midian. And Yisro was even excommunicated. And what happened? Then Hashem says, right, you have to fight Midian, Nakom. Nakom means you yourself. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitch, Moshe Rabbeinu would not go against Midian to fight, because Midian shielded him for 60 years. So he said, Pinchas. And Moshe Rabbeinu did a kal v'chomer to himself. If I'm told not to smite the blood and the frogs and the dust for the lies, which are inanimate objects, they've got no feelings. And nevertheless, I have to show them my curse. I told them all the more so, because Midian sheltered me for 60 years, I can't go and fight them. Hashem's command has to be done by others. And there are many other examples. Yaakov says to Yosef, Ra'ei es shlom achecha ves shlom hatzon. See how your brothers are and how the flock is, how the sheep is. Do you think the sheep really care? And yet there is an idea of sensitivity, that a person has to accept that he has Hakoras HaTov for others. And when the Benos Yisro came out and met Moshe Rabbeinu, and they went back to their father and they said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu. Right, the traditional pshat is he was dressed like an Egyptian. Chazal tell us that it was because of that Egyptian that he killed. As a result of that indirect causation, we have our Hakoras HaTov to an Ish Mitzri that we were saved, because he killed an Ish Mitzri, and as a result he escaped to come down here. So there are many instances we find of Hakoras HaTov where people, however, are denying. And nowadays, unfortunately, people do go into denial. And yet when we say Hashemona Esra, we say every bracha the Chazan says, Baruch Hu V'Och Shemo Amen. Everyone, Baruch Hu V'Och Shemo Amen. But when we come to Modim, we say ourselves, Modim Anachnu Loch, at the same time as the Chazan is saying Modim. Because we have to be Moda HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Hakoras HaTov for all the good that he does for us. Which makes it very surprising when you see somebody sending a text message on their mobile phone while they're saying Asher Yotzah. You know, they come out from the toilet, Asher Yotzah, we're thanking Hashem for this amazing nace that we are able to conduct ourselves in this way, that our bodies can function properly in a miraculous manner. And we should be saying this bracha with great kavanah. That is a Hakoras HaTov. And then another question is, why are we called Yehudim? Why are we called Jews? Yehudi, alright, we're named after Yehuda. Because Leah, when she gave birth to him, she said, Hapam Ode Es Hashem, I thank Hashem. She gave a Hakor Satot. So the Sforno says that we are thanking Hashem for being Yehudim. We are thanking Hashem for the Torah that He has given us. And that is why we are called Jews. That's why we are called Yehudim. There are other reasons given, which we've once discussed, but that's the reason given by the Sforno. We came out from Mitzrayim, and not even 49 days had passed, and we start complaining. Shmos Yudches, Pasuk Ches, we say there is not enough water to drink. After we saw these great nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we're complaining. What happens when you show such a lack of Hakoras HaTov? Vayobo Amalek. And then that's why Amalek came. It's a repetitive idea going right through Torah and right through Nach. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Hey Bava Madalev, talks about Rabbi Shimon ben Reb Chalafta, who was suffering enormously from the heat. So he asked his daughter to fan him so that he can cool down, and he promised her as a reward a bag of spices. And then suddenly a wind came along, and the breeze was so refreshing to him, and he realized, oy vey, the refreshment that I'm getting from the wind is far greater than this, and I offered my daughter a bag of spices. What do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I owe him more than a bag of spices. What is Hashem trying to tell us? We're just not thinking about it. And then when we say Berchas Hamazon, we're benching after a meal, we're not just thanking for our food, we say Bechein Bechesed Uverachamim. Hashem gives us our food Bechein. We get delicious chocolate eclairs, we got food which is pleasing to the eye, Nechmad L'mariv Atov L'machol. We're not just living on vitamin pills. Are we performing Hakoras HaTov in the way we should really be doing it? The Gemara Menachos Mem Gimel talks about David HaMelech noticed that there were hundreds of people dying, so he instituted that we should say 100 brachas every day. What is the essence of any bracha which we say? The bracha we say to Hashem is a Hakoras HaTov. When the 100 brachas started, then the plague stopped. We are saying HaKoras HaTov, not only when we make the bracha of HaTova HaMetiv, we are making the bracha Dayano Emes, when sadly somebody leaves us. That is also a kind of HaKoras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we know that what Hashem is doing is for the best. But it's very hard for us, but what do we say? At that moment of grief, we say Dayano Emes. Now when we give tzedakah, we're giving tzedakah to poor people. It's not a mitzvah to somebody who doesn't need it. But when we do HaKoras HaTov, it applies to anybody. It applies to rich people, it applies to poor people. And what we learnt from the first three Makkos is that when one does HaKoras HaTov, it's not simply to other people or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to inanimate objects. Why is it that we have this thing about inanimate objects? Because when we're doing HaKoras HaTov, we're doing something for our own personal characters. So we cover up the chalas when we make the bracha of Bar Piyah Goffin. So what does it say? We don't put them to shame. Do the chalas feel shame? Of course they don't feel shame. But if we instill in ourselves this idea and this feeling of being sensitive even to inanimate objects, then we will become sensitive to other people and sensitive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just about thanking. And it's not just about showing gratitude. Rav Dessler writes in Michtam Eliyahu that in order to be able to survive, you have to be able to show HaKoras HaTov to others. Because when you show HaKoras HaTov to others, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign that you're indebted to somebody else. It's the arrogant person who feels as though I don't owe anything to anybody. So HaKoras HaTov is such an essential idea to give a person anovo. And therefore, it's not just Bein Odom L'Mokum, it's not just Bein Odom L'Chaveiro, it is Bein Odom L'Atzmo. It is the way you relate to yourself. I did hesitate whether I should quote something in an Adas Shul from William Shakespeare, but there's something in Hamlet which was quoted to me once in a letter when I was leaving a job, and I thought it was so nice. Shakespeare writes in Hamlet, to thine own self be true. This is Polonius saying this to his son. Be true to yourself. To thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day, that you cannot then be false to any man. If you are true to yourself, if you are honest with yourself, then you will become honest with other people. And if you are honest with other people, then you will be honest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Chazal tell us that a person who is kofer, tovoso, a person who denies HaKadosh HaTov to other people, might eventually become kofer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will then come to deny Hashem himself. And that is why the amazing thing about HaKadosh HaTov is that it's an essential ingredient in your character. And Rav Dessler writes that you will not get Olam Haba without it. What greater person is there than Rav David Cooper Zatzal, to whom one should show HaKadosh HaTov? From my age of 4 years old, I grew up in this amazing Kehila, and even those here who don't remember him, or who might only remember him as a frail person, they are also benefiting from this Kehila, which he built up in such an amazing way. When my family joined this Kehila, there were problems getting a minyan on Shabbos morning. That is the state that the North Hendon Hadas was in. It was still in its very embryonic roots, davening in a very small room in the school and not having this beautiful building. For me, personally, he was the Rav. He was also my teacher in school. He was my mentor. I was privileged to be the Shamus of the Shul for 5 years when I was a teenager, so I had a very close connection with him. And he was also my neighbour, so in four ways I had this privilege of being connected with him. And he was a man who showed such great humility, sensitivity. He was such a big Talmid Chacham. Rav Rom Guritz, Rosh Hashiva Gates, said that Rabbi Cooper is one of the top five Rabbonim in Europe. And you know what was so nice about Rabbi Cooper? He always had a sense of humor. He always shared a joke in a shiur. He once told us that when he stands up and gives a drasha on Shabbos morning, it's nice, but really, 100 drashas make one shiur. The value of a shiur is much greater than a few flowery words on the pulpit. So somebody once came up to him and said, Rabbi Cooper, if that's the case, then don't give a drasha, give a shiur. So he said to him, I have to deliver 100 drashas until you come to one shiur. There were other jokes I remember he used to say, but there isn't time for those now. But he showed such a love for his kehillah and for the Talmidim. Whenever he did give a telling off, it was always done out of love. In school, he never gave punishments. There was one troublesome boy in our class. What did he do? He drew him to one side at a private moment when nobody else was looking, and he had a chat, a very friendly chat with him, to speak to him about the beauty of being a mensch. And this was Rav Cooper. I'm aware of the chesed that he did to others. I'm aware of things that he did behind the scenes for others because of my involvement as the Shamus of the Shul. And I used to know how sensitive he was to other people. I may perhaps just give one story when it was on a Yom Tov, and at that time people were going outside in the Haftarah, some people, not a lot, to have a smoke, and they got their light for the cigarette from the boiler room. And being the Shamus, I had the key for the boiler room. So I thought, oh brilliant, I'm going to lock it. And let it open after the davening's finished. So I left it locked, and there was a bit of a hoo-ha about it, a bit of trouble, and so what did I do? I went up to Rav Cooper and I said, what shall I do? What do you feel is the right thing? Because he said to me, of course you're quite right. You're quite right that people should not be smoking in the Haftarah. But he said, you have to understand that there are people in our Kehillah who have been in concentration camp. And some of those people are the ones who are smoking outside. We don't understand what they went through. We cannot fathom what Gehinnom they had in this world. We cannot judge them, neither you nor me. Leave the boiler room open and just turn a blind eye to what's going on. This was the sensitivity that he had and the demeanor that he had. Always a smile, never angry, never getting involved in any machlokes. And it's therefore a privilege to talk about the subject of HaKadosh HaTov, that we can all, even if we didn't know him, express to him a very large hakaras hatov for what he did in unselfishly building up this kehela and serving it for nearly half a century. This is something which should remain in our thoughts for all time, and our thoughts are with his family and his children who are Meir, Eli, and Pinchas, and Ruth, and Judy, and it's not necessarily out of order just to say Bilam Ovis Lonetzach that Hashem will eliminate death forever. Och Hashem will uncanny dim on the uncle upon him. Hashem will erase our tears for all places. Amen.